Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
One of the big headlines from this week that I don't think anyone discussed until now is that Obamacare has survived, according to the Supreme Court, in a 7-2 decision. You know, all those Republicans who thought that Trump stacking the Supreme Court was going to, you know, somehow do something. They voted in favor of Obamacare.
You mean the government decided to vote that they can, in fact, require you to do something else?
That's right.
Can you briefly summarize what Obamacare is for the unenlightened or the old who have forgotten?
You know, I don't really know all the details. I've never done anything regarding Obamacare. I've never signed up or done whatever it is that they want you to do. But it's, they call it the Affordable Care Act was what it was actually called when it was passed however many years ago. And according to the story here at CNBC, I guess there was some sort of individual mandate. So the idea is that every person in the United States has to...
Oh, this is like the states that have mandatory car insurance. You have to, it's mandatory health insurance.
Those states being just about all of them.
Yeah.
Except New Hampshire.
Yeah. And yeah, no, when I heard about that, I'm like, wait. So you're telling me they are requiring me to purchase a service?
Yes.
And, like, at the time, I hadn't, you know, fully realized what the nature of the government was. If you get insurance on your house burning down, the insurance agent should not hear a crackling fire in the background while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the idea. Like, here is this thing. It's going well. It's functioning. But something could go wrong, so we're going to, as a group, we're going to distribute the risk so that none of us gets hit too hard when it does happen. But with requiring that all of the pre-existing conditions don't stop you from getting any of your any insurance coverage, I mean, that's not insurance.
That's not the business model. That's right. Not how it was originally designed or intended.
Well, and I mean, just fundamentally, that is not insurance. Mm-hmm. That is something fundamentally different.
Well, the medical industry is already a big, I don't know, cesspool of government interference anyway. It is one of the most overregulated industries in all of Earth's history, particularly the United States one. Everybody complains about the high cost of healthcare. I can tell you for a fact, having held a job for a couple different medical products companies, that most of their overhead goes into compliance.
Wow.
Yeah. Compliance with federal rules.
I've heard that about doctor's offices,
and
too.
And it moves at a pace of a sloth because of it.
The Supreme Court ruled 7-2 on Thursday against Texas and other Republican-led states seeking to strike down Obamacare in the law's latest test before the nation's highest court. This according to CNBC. The court reversed an appeals court ruling that had struck down the law's individual mandate provision. The Chief Justice, or one of the justices, Breyer, said Texas and the other states that challenged the law failed to show that they were harmed by it. Quote, neither the individual nor the state plaintiffs have shown that the injury they will suffer or have suffered is fairly traceable to the allegedly unlawful conduct of which they complain, he said. Whatever the hell that means.
Really? Because, like, you forced me to give you $600 that I didn't want to give you. Isn't that, haven't I been injured by that?
Is that how much this costs?
Well, with Obamacare, if you don't have insurance, then you have to pay $600 a year. At least that's last I looked into.
Because insurance costs a lot more than that, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their enforcement mechanism is of course, through theirs, or the IRS.
The IRS.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The decision marks the third time that Obamacare, officially known as the Affordable Care Act, has survived a challenge before the Supreme Court since Barack Obama signed the legislation into law in 2010.
When did government take on moral obligations? Can you show me the list of moral obligations? I'm not talking to you specifically, Ian. I'm talking to anybody. Can anybody show me a list where the government says, okay, we, as this organization of violence and force, have taken on this list of moral obligations?
They are morally obligated to wield a monopoly on the initiation of force in a given geographical region.
Yeah, I can't really find much that's moral at all about the state, the government, the federal government, the state of fill in
the
blank.
Can you find anything? I can't.
The city of whatever.
I mean, only because the existence of that organization violates consent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so right. If you start
it's immoral
there,
by its base,
it in and of itself is unethical and also immoral.
And I would go so far as to say downright evil. I mean, when the nature of your existence is to aggress on people, to initiate force and fraud constantly in every subject of our lives, I'm sorry, that's not just, you're not just not moral, you're evil.
No doubt about it. Today's decision, this is according to one of the two dissenting judges, was the third installment in our epic Affordable Care Act trilogy, and it follows the same pattern in installments 1 and 2. In all three episodes, the court has pulled off an improbable rescue, he says. Didn't really even say why he opposed it.
I can deal with, you know, somebody who is, I don't know, a narcissist, a psychopath, you know, on an individual basis.
Okay.
You know, when all things are equal. What I really want to see disappear is this organization that attracts them all. And then they obviously end up abusing, you know, their authority within that organizational structure because it's the only incentive they have.
Is there anyone who doesn't abuse authority? I mean, isn't that sort of the whole point of authority is to abuse people?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
I can't find anyone who really doesn't when they have it. I mean, the obvious caveat there is to, like, an organization where your participation is voluntary mm-hmm. and not coerced, right?
Well, yeah, if by authority you mean, like, the supposed ability to initiate force on people, that's one thing. But no, like there is legitimate authority.
Sure, like an expert in a field of study could be an authority on that subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, or even general authority. I mean, if you're raising kids, like, yeah, you're the authority. You know how to not get run over in traffic, for example. And I mean, when you're legitimately looking out for their interests, and that's exactly the con game that gets played on us, is that they tap into what is a really valuable instinct and a viable way of life, and they put themselves in the place of the government, which is why there is a very just a constant infantilization of all citizenry. How are we supposed to fight racism if we don't create racists?
It's the same thing's true with the so-called terrorists. I mean, over the last 20 years almost now since 9/11, they've arrested over 200 people who were ostensibly going to cause some sort of violent terrorist strike within the United States, and almost every single one of them was sort of set up by the FBI.
Yep.
They were, in most cases, actually created by the FBI. The FBI might have gotten a tip that so-and-so was being radicalized by, you know, Islam, radical Islam, and then FBI agents would come in, and they would further radicalize this person.
And I believe many of them were actually given things to, you know, cause the destruction by FBI agents.
Yes.
In other words, they were given the weapons or something along those lines.
What they thought were bombs.
Occasionally things that were actually bombs.
Did that ever happen?
That's what I've heard, is that they, on certain occasions, they actually gave them bombs.
Wow. I know that most of the time they just give them a fake bomb, and then because they thought it was a real bomb, they've got enough to arrest them on it.
Right. Well, I want to get into, and I don't know if your article mentions it, I didn't bring it for show prep, but I have read where Biden's crackdown on domestic terrorism specifically includes people with anti-government rhetoric.
If you really want to see what's headed up for us, just look into history, see what happened with the USSR. They set up snitch lines too, and soon you're going to have children informing on their parents.
You already have that, actually. They've been doing that for years in the United States, where they'll talk to school children and they'll say, hey, Bobby and Susie, you know, do your parents smoke weed? Or they'll, like, ask the whole class or whatever. Hey, if your parents are using drugs, let us know. We'll help them.
There were stories of kids turning their parents in.
Yeah, because, they don't know any better. They think that, I'm just telling my teacher what she wants to know. And then the cops show up and arrest their parents. I mean, that's been going on for decades in the war on drugs.
Won't be too long before they're using, like, toll-free numbers. 1-800-2-SNITCH.
Yeah, and now it's going to be, hey, class, are your parents angry at the government? If so, we want to know because we want to help them. Just let us know.
Do your parents support hate speech?
Yeah.
You can tell hate speech by the following classification.
So they're targeting so-called white supremacy as the most lethal threat to the homeland today. That's according to Biden in a speech. And like I said before, I just don't buy it. I mean, I understand that's the big boogeyman that they're trying to trot out here, but...
Some of the most racist people I ever met. Military people.
They filed a report, the Domestic Department of Homeland Security, regarding political affairs domestically. It was in March. The director of the National Intelligence states that it was prepared in consultation with all these different agencies, FBI, CIA, DHS, etc. The primary point is this, quote, the intelligence community assesses that domestic violent extremists, which they're calling DVEs, who are motivated by a range of ideologies and galvanized by recent political and societal events in the United States, pose an elevated threat to the homeland, with a capital H, in 2021. While asserting that the most lethal of these threats is posed by racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, or RMVEs, and militia violent extremists, MVEs. It makes it clear that its target encompasses a wide range of groups from the left, including Antifa, animal rights, and environmental activists, pro-choice extremists, and anarchists.
Oh my God. Anarchists?
The report claims those who oppose capitalism and all forms of globalization, unquote, to the right, including sovereign citizen movements, anti-abortion activists, and those deemed motivated by racial or ethnic hatreds. So again, they're claiming this is a bipartisan effort to crack down on so-called domestic terror.
Well, if you look at your Nolan chart, you'll see that there are four squares there, and two of those are terrorists.
You know what is the Nolan chart?
So the Nolan chart is, so you've got left-right politics and authoritarian-libertarian politics.
Mm-hmm. And of course, they're using the January 6th event in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol building.
Yeah, they don't use, like, riots and the burning of, like, police stations or anything like that. They use what could be called, a quiet riot, if you will. I don't know what to call it. It was like... And, like, I was reading something else.
The least dangerous revolution ever.
I was reading something else, too.
The unarmed coup.
Where they were, doing some research on, you know, how people got into the buildings and that kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah, they still won't release the footage.
Yeah, they're saying that it was plants. It was FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, who basically let people in.
Well, I remember seeing footage from the outside of cops just letting people in the mm-hmm. one of the side doors.
I was watching somebody's live stream YouTube who was there, and in the comments, the YouTube streamer himself was saying, "You guys, this thing was done by old men with canes." Like, old men with canes were the ones, you know, sort of leading, you know, the way for the rest of everybody to get in there. There's no way that this is anything, you know, like a riot or a coup or anything like that.
No, people were walking, when they got into the building, they were, like, staying within the lines. They weren't crossing over the, you know, easy to cross... Whatever the hell you call them, those rope barricades.
All right, everyone, tour guide rules, guide rules.
It goes without saying, says Greenwald, that violence of any kind, including that which is politically motivated, is a serious crime under U.S. law, and it's the proper role of the U.S. government to investigate and prevent it. But there are real and important legal and institutional limits on the authority of the intelligence community to involve itself in domestic law enforcement or other forms of domestic political activity that seem threatened here, if not outright violated. In particular, the report's acknowledgement that it was compiled by institutions including Department of Homeland Security, with contributions by the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency, has alarmed numerous members of the House Intelligence Committee. Recently, all 10 members of the House Intelligence Committee wrote a previously unreported letter to the National Director of Intelligence to, quote, raise serious concerns about the production of this document by the intelligence community and to seek clarification on the facts related to its production. So even some of the, you know, political people are acting upset about
for
this.
For our listeners who might not be taking in all of the verboseness of what the government is saying here, let me summarize it for you.
Thank you, yeah.
Support the state or else.
That's right. Or you'll be investigated.
Or else.
And when they investigate you, they like to find something, you know, even if they have to cook it up.
Ain't that the truth?
Among the issues raised with the DHS report was not subject to the standard rigors of the normal intelligence community findings, yet continuously makes sweeping claims that it prefixes with the authoritative phrase, the IC, intelligence community, assesses. According to the their report that they filed back in March, they're looking at people on the left and the right. They specifically cite Antifa, animal rights, environmental activists, pro-choice so-called extremists, and anarchists. As people that they're looking at, quote, those who oppose capitalism and all forms of globalization, and people on the right, including sovereign citizens, anti-abortion activists, and those deemed motivated by racial or ethnic hatreds, as just some of the people that they're going to be investigating and or are investigating. Anyone with derived from anti-government or anti-authority sentiment, or opposed to perceived economic, racial, or social hierarchies. This is some wording from the government report. Now, as Greenwald points out later in his piece, he says, involvement of the intelligence community in the domestic activities of U.S. citizens is one of the most dangerous breaches of civil liberties and democratic order that the U.S. government can perpetrate. It was after World War II when the CIA, the NSA, and other state security agencies that wield immense and unlimited powers in the dark were created in the name of fighting the Cold War. Legal and institutional prohibitions on wielding that massive machinery against the American public were central to the always dubious claim that the security behemoth that operates completely in the dark was compatible with democracy. So it was the fear of the Red Scare, of the fear of communism, that was their excuse for creating these agencies that are now turning their focus on the American people directly. Well, I mean, so what do you guys think, though, about that idea that a little bit of evil is needed to protect from even more evil?
Evil's not necessary,
even
period.
If that were true, which it isn't, but if that were true, then, okay, just look at what happens when you give them the space for a little bit of evil. Like, this country was perfectly set up at its foundation to maintain minarchy. It was the perfect experiment.
It's a small government, right?
Yeah,
yes.
A small government, that only watches over these certain things like defense and that sort of thing, and keeping the court systems. Like, this was the perfect scenario. I mean, we were oceans away from everybody else. We had allies to the north and south. I mean, this was the perfect setup. We had come up with a brand new technology for how to really rein this in by writing down what they can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And we are now the largest government ever
in the history of planet Earth.
And with more people imprisoned, I believe, than pretty much any other
government. Any other time in Earth's history.
Yeah. Many of whom are there for nonviolent, victimless crimes, like having or selling drugs, for instance. So there's a ton of people behind bars in this country that have become victims of the police. And, of course, there's also the 1,000-plus people a year that are actually killed by the police in the United States. And other countries' policing agencies don't even come close, in a lot of cases, to those numbers. Certainly Western countries.
People like Robert haven't thought it through, and if they have, they're stuck in this circular argument.
Unless it's to permit intelligence agencies to start policing constitutionally protected speech and associational activities among U.S. citizens, why are any new laws needed?
I mean, that's a great question. Why are any new laws needed, period? Even without the whole lead into that with the article and the discussion
Indeed.
That we've been having tonight, why are any new laws necessary? Everything that you could possibly construe as bad is already
outlawed.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we need new laws or else we wouldn't have so many legislators.
They do seem like to feel like that's their job, right?
I mean, you know, if we just kept the laws that we have and started, you know, enforcing those, we might get the idea that we don't need these people.
Unless it is to empower them to escalate their already aggressive use of war on terror tactics against U.S. citizens, what do they want security state agencies to be able to do on U.S. soil that they can't already do?
I mean, are there things that they can't do?
That's the question.
It sounds to me like the empire is sad that it has ruled over most of the world in one way, shape, or form, in the form of hundreds of military bases, in the form of, you know, military coups inserting their chosen leaders into, you know, regimes where it benefits the empire. It sounds to me like they're just sad that they don't have anything to do because their rule is so omnipotent.
In my day, you couldn't call people. You had to call a house with an entire family.
Yeah.
Or how about a party line where you had to share the one phone number with more than one household?
Yeah, did you ever have one of those?
Yeah, I did, actually. In one of the foster homes I was in, we shared with the neighbor. And so if you wanted to make a phone call, you had to first pick up the receiver of the phone and listen and see if you had
anyone
dial
else
tone and see if anyone else is there. And if it was of somewhat importance to you to make that call quickly, you had to, like, butt in like you used to do on the CB radio.
Like,
you know,
hey,
like,
guys.
Breaker, you know, hey, how long are you going to, you know, can I make a call? I got to make this call before 10 o'clock or whatever, you know. And so you'd have to have this cooperation with your neighbors. I mean, it was kind of interesting because you had to develop a relationship with your neighbors in that respect.
I'd always heard of party lines, but I never knew that's the way they were used. Yeah. I always thought it was just a conference call or something like that. I never got that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like chat rooms for phones.
Yeah.
Quite literally, imagine, you know, having one landline in your house, but having five phones.
So the COVID thing seems to be more common for the people on the right to get a lot of flack from YouTube for.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what I've seen people get kicked off on the left for is having an unorthodox stance on Israel.
Like,
that
really
seems to be the hot topic that, in general, the left is really not fond of this whole, like, oh, so at the end of World War II, you just, like, occupied this place and sold it three times and gave it to these people. Like, they're really not happy about that.
Well, I mean, you know, how was the United States of America founded, right? It took the land of the Native Americans, so, you know, it's not the first time.
Captain, give me another quote from the 21 nonconformity quotes.
I like this one particularly for Sam the caller. The opposite of bravery is not cowardice, but conformity.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like Sam was, you know, being brave and standing up for himself and, you know, exposing these people for the bastards they are.
That's a good one because it's, you know, it is absolutely counter to bravery to do what you're told.
This was from a man, I don't know who this is, Dr. Robert Anthony, who wrote The Ultimate Secret to Total Self-Confidence.
Good one, Bob. Thanks.
Indeed.
Give me another one. We got 21 of these things, so we might as well do a few of them.
Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to reform or pause and reflect.
Now look, one of the evils that the police are trying to keep you safe from is vaping, okay? It's going to hurt you. If you vape too much, your lungs could get damaged. Now, they probably won't get damaged as much as smoking, but nonetheless, the police are out there in the streets, and they're trying to protect your children from themselves.
And what is the mechanism they're using to protect these children?
Tasers.
From themselves?
And probably clubs. I'm not sure. They've been beating on teenagers, according to Reason.com. Billy Binion writing the story that over the last several years, people across the political aisle have conceded that parts of the drug war only serve to exacerbate certain problems. At the same time, politicians of both stripes have engaged in a bipartisan effort to restrict a new boogeyman, vaping.
Don't you know that's bad for your health? You need to stop!
Here's an actual clip of what I think this was Atlantic City. It looks like they're out on the boardwalk. Oh, no, sorry. Ocean City, Maryland.
You mean under the boardwalk?
No. Well, they would have taken him under the boardwalk.
Down by the sea?
If there wasn't a camera nearby to observe what was going on. Thankfully, this guy had friends. Ocean City, Maryland, taking down a 17-year-old tough boy who's standing there surrounded by five cops. They're outdoors. They're in front of, you know, they're not even near, like, a front door, right? Like, some cities, they say you can't vape or you can't smoke within
40 feet or something.
Or,
yeah,
like, near a window or a door or something. They're down the stairs from this apartment complex or wherever it is that they're standing in front of. They're nowhere near anything or anyone, but nonetheless.
And I gotta ask, like, what kind of mindset do you have where you're like, he's gonna pull a gun to defend his right to vape?
For a vaping ticket.
Seriously.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what happens to kids, to children, who get beaten or otherwise abused physically, harmed physically by agents of the state. They grew up to become domestic terrorists.
Mm.
Not all of them. So, or at least have anti-government sentiment.
You wonder why there are people who are developing anti-government and anti-authoritarian sentiment?
It's because of stuff like this, for sure.
It's because of the organization itself.
After walking away, so the cops went and they threatened the young people first. But then apparently they didn't write the tickets at first. After walking away, cops noticed one of the same teens, Bryant Everett Anderson, engaging or re-engaging with his vape. Quote, officers approached the group again to further address the violation, unquote.
According they were like, oh yeah?
Huh? According to the press release from the local gang. Quote, during the course of the interaction, the male refused to provide his proof of identification and became disorderly. Even if they do understand how corrupt things seem to be or actually are, they feel like you can't fight City Hall. You've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's defund City Hall.
Well, that's a great plan. Who's going first?
I use crypto all the time.
Well, that's cool, but they're going to demand, property tax payments. And then if you don't pay, they're going to come take your house from you. You know, whether you're using crypto or not is a non-factor in that whole situation. Well, and most people aren't willing to lose their home.
I think that everybody out there that feels the same way that we do, here on Free Talk Live about most of this stuff, should gather together with other people who feel the same way. Join the Rebel Alliance, if you will, because guess what? We're it.
I mean,
we're the closest thing to that analogy that exists currently. And so move to New Hampshire, join the rest of us, and see if we can do something about it, because I don't see any other way.
I don't either. I want to see some other way, let me know.
Well, like I said, crypto. Because, I mean, state and local governments are absolutely, at this point, dependent on the dole that they get from the federal government.
Yep.
Now, if you remove the federal government's ability to print money, they lose all of that power.
No, I agree with that, and that's why they're cracking down on crypto currently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And it's going to get worse, sadly, in my opinion, before it gets better.
Well, but even then, I don't disagree with either of you, but taking Captain's idea and combining it with the crypto thing is an even more powerful thing.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.